Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast on Radio MD iHeart or wherever you download us from. Thank you for doing that. Thank you also if you'll rate us. We have another sensational guest today. We've had just a string of them lately. I hope this continues it. Michael McDonald is a MD-MSEE. He's a cardiologist and clinical professor of medicine at Stanford University School of Medicine. He's worked with Apple, Google, Fitbit on digital initiatives for more than 25 years and has spent that time researching heart disease and practicing preventive cardiology. He states that all author royalties from the sale of this book will be donated to either the American Heart Association or American Cancer Society, and you'll see why both of those from the title. It says, Fight Heart Disease Like Cancer. And I'm immediately going to pick a fight with him because when I picked up the book, I said, no, that's the wrong way. It's fighting cancer like we do heart disease, because we start fighting heart disease much before it develops, at least clinically. We don't do that with cancer very well. But I'm going to come back to that in a second after I tell you that we are sponsored, as usual, by LongevityPlaybook.com. Go to their website and sign up for the free newsletter. And the other sponsor is, of course, LifeFirstNaturals.com. LifeFirstNaturals, the makers of both TrueBiotics and Bovine Colostrum. Go to their website, lifefirstnaturals.com, and see the randomized double-blind controlled trials that show you why I take those. For example, they decrease the effect of non-steroidal anti-inflammatory effect on your gut wall, preventing it from shortening the way it would with ibuprofen or even the baby aspirin I take twice a day to prevent both heart disease and cancer, or help prevent that. So, Dr. McConnell, thank you for coming on, and let me pick a fight with you right away. We in medicine, I practice executive health and wellness internal medicine, try and prevent heart disease aggressively by controlling blood pressure, getting people to change diet, do the four components of physical activity that make a difference, manage stress, and aggressively lower LDL cholesterol and blood pressure and inflammatory markers. Most people don't treat cancer till it develops. As a preventive cardiologist, I would say we should say, fight cancer by doing things preventively, getting enough fruits and vegetables in the diet, avoiding unforced errors of vaping and smoking, etc. By the way, I should say you convinced me in reading the book, but when I picked it up, I was saying, this is a crazy idea. We want to fight cancer like we do heart disease. What did I do? Where was my misconception?
Actually, I don't think you have misconception. And as you probably got to a spot later in the book, I actually talk about how cancer care can learn from heart disease care, particularly around the prevention side. And, you know, one of the opening comments is, and it was actually news to me when I went onto the websites, I go onto the American Heart Association website quite regularly, but when you go to the American Cancer Society website, you actually see that they have a lot of shared risk factors, and the American Cancer Society does promote, as you're saying, physical activity, healthy diet, maintaining weight, avoiding cigarette smoking, vaping, avoiding alcohol, as preventing for cancer, as well as preventing for heart disease. But I think one of the challenges we've had with heart disease is that the reality is many of us end up having risk factors that we can't control, even though we're trying to do the right thing. And for most people, there's a certain point where our risk score based on, be it blood pressure or prediabetes level or family history, or, you know, you have another chronic inflammatory disease, you've mentioned inflammation. What I'm advocating is that we learn from cancer how I don't look at a patient and say you can't have colon cancer or breast cancer because your numbers look pretty good. I say, you know, at the right time, you get screened for those. Similarly, for heart disease, we can do a lot of the right things, but sometimes risk factors add up, and we shouldn't skip the part of making sure we know our risk score, making sure we get screened appropriately. And as you've highlighted, we have all these great therapies to keep the disease at bay, keep it from turning benign. And so even learning on the therapy side, right? If we find early disease, we treat it aggressively, keep it benign, prevent heart attacks and strokes.
So the great cover is two boxing gloves, which is wonderful. They look like Muhammad Ali's gloves. They're such, I think there is a art exhibit in Las Vegas of Muhammad Ali's gloves looking just like this, but look tarnished enough for the actual fight that we as physicians try and help patients have. And sometimes we have to fight with them to have that fight. Let me ask you, one of the analogies in the book that I think is very powerful is the analogy of a tumor. Talk to us about what you mean by a tumor with heart disease.
Sure. Well, tumor, sort of the original term used for a growth found in the body, we strongly associate that with cancer, growing tumors. But actually, when the original pathologists saw heart disease developing in our heart arteries, they also used the word tumor atheroma, which means sort of a fatty-filled growth. I think a lot of people don't realize we use the term heart disease, but it really does start in these small vessels that run along the surface of a heart that supply, you know, the blood and oxygen to our heart muscle that helps it keep beating and squeezing out blood. With most people, every second of every day, right, it has to do that. And so these small growths are the underlying what we call coronary artery disease, the main cause of heart attacks. And when they develop in other blood vessels, they can cause strokes. So it really is a biologic disease. You know, I talk a lot in the book how early on the focus when I was in training was looking for what we now realize is very late stage disease when there's already a blockage. And so we thought of it as more of an engineering or plumbing problem. But the reality is it's much more of a biologic problem. So I end up talking to my patients more like an oncologist does, you know, a cancer specialist. We have these growing plaques, what we now call plaques instead of atheroma, inside our heart arteries. And so we have the risk factors or growth factors, as you described, the blood pressure, diabetes, inflammation, all are driving growth. So we want to do as much as possible to reverse those growth factors and look for early disease when appropriate. And then we have powerful ways of reversing that biology and preventing the plaques from rupturing and going on to cause a heart attack or a stroke.
Well, let's get to rupturing of the plaque or rupturing of the tumor in a second, because I want to get to that. But you talk about starting your own imaging lab. I have a fondness for that. I ran cardiac anesthesia at UCSF for a little bit and brought transesophageal. Mike Halen and I brought transesophageal echo over from the Thorax Center in the Netherlands in 1979. So I have a fondness for imaging and ultrasound, but you talk a lot about what we should do early on. So I told a patient yesterday, I was interviewing you, and he said, well, tell him I get chest pain when I am on my treadmill at 140 beats a minute, and ask him, since you've lowered my blood pressure and you've lowered my LDL below 40, what else he would do. And ask him, like you said, should I keep exercising up to 140 or should I go to 120 as a max? So ask him, give you a second opinion, will you?
Sure. So one question obviously is what his coronary arteries might look like, but if he's getting reproducible chest pain or angina with exercise, It's likely he has more advanced narrowings. But, you know, as you know well, if we can make sure that the plaques are stable with the low LDL, well-controlled blood pressure, you know, it sounds like the biology of his plaques is reversed so that they're unlikely to progress and cause heart attacks. I have patients like that who get regular exertional angina, and, you know, we keep it in that stable mode. And so I would encourage him to continue to exercise.
He's going to get a cath tomorrow, but in short of his cath tomorrow, if you will, it was interesting because he is a consistent exercise and he has a huge amount of stress in life. He is a executive at one of the biggest firms in America and is literally the second in command. And although he reported this problem 2 weeks ago developing, he could not get here till tomorrow because he had meetings that he didn't want to miss or important decisions. As you can see, this is part of the craziness of America or of his life. And he does have a lot of stress in his life from that position. But in any case, would you tell him to keep exercising up to the 140, which is what I told him in the week, is don't push it past pain.
Yeah, so I would say when I've had situations like this before, if I'm going ahead and looking at his anatomy, I do tell people to take it easy for that week or two until we get more information as to the extent or severity or location of any narrowings. But I think once you have that information, then hopefully, if it doesn't look too bad, you can go back to, you know, the level of exercise he's been doing.
I have another patient who we've lowered his LDL level, his blood pressure is normal, lowered his LDL level, got him to do some stress management practices, but whose coronary calcium was 1660, a fairly high number, but on a CT angio, doesn't have more than 50% obstruction of any of the vessels. I've told him to just continue to exercise as strongly as possible and continue on his anti-inflammatory regimen as well. One of the things you go in with is the imaging advances. So talk to us now. We'll forget that patient other than that you want to tell us about the imaging advances, but do tell us about the imaging advances.
Sure. Well, I think what you highlight is a great example that one can have a lot of plaque buildup without a severe narrowing. And I think historically, we mostly focused on imaging tests that would look for severe narrowings, like stress tests or conventional angiograms. We're mostly looking for the severe narrowings, which is really late stage disease. And so a negative stress test doesn't mean, like in your patient you just described, could still have a lot of plaque buildup in the wall. And that's one of the challenges, is it can grow silently, doesn't cause symptoms. And that's why, you know, in the guidelines and what I typically use to start off in someone who has enough risk factors is to look at coronary calcium. You know, it's similar to looking at a mammogram, the microcalcification that occurs in plaque. These plaque tumors can be picked up quite early, and it gives you, you know, a great way to make a shared decision with the patient around better control of risk factors, getting the LDL low. I think we're seeing the latest advances, and some, you know, have come even after they made me stop changing any of the words in the book, is AI now being applied to these CT angiograms that you just described, where you can see both the calcified plaque and the non-calcified plaque, and then they're using AI to analyze that non-calcified plaque to try to look at which plaques may be at risk for plaque rupture. There was a large trial just launched. I think I saw the launch date was this week, very much looking at using that kind of information to see, does treatment reverse the concerning aspects of the plaque show that they're more benign. And if not, then to do more aggressive therapy.
I should say when he referred to, when Dr. McConnell referred to the book is Fight Heart Disease Like Cancer. His name is Michael V. McConnell, McConnell. The book is a great book to read and understand heart disease, maybe even get a little more understanding of cancer as well. But one of the interesting things is it is a Johns Hopkins University book. He did not have any relationship with Johns Hopkins before this book got published. But the royalties from the sale of the book are being donated to research from the American Heart Association and American Cancer Society. Tell us, if you will, the last message that we should take away from this is, should one get a battery of tests? What would you say to the average 60-year-old who comes to your practice without symptoms? What should they do? And how aggressively do you push them to do it?
The number one thing I do is I calculate their cardiovascular risk score. And that's based on those big growth factors of cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar. Some people may already be at high risk based on the risk score, and I treat them aggressively. But if there's still a question, then I use a coronary calcium scan to further personalize the risk. And some people still have a zero score, and we can follow. And as you described, some people can have a very elevated score, and then we've got to get their LDL super low and help with all the other risk factors so we can reverse the disease and prevent heart attacks and strokes.
I should say there's also a very nice index in the book. One of the things that you do talk about is continuous glucose monitors as well. It's a really complete book in this area, including information on LPA, which is one of the things that we've been measuring here at the Cleveland Clinic since 2004, but now we find we can do something about finally in the last 6 or 8 years, and now we're getting even more aggressive with it.
And you probably saw the section that I have a very high LP little A, so I'm waiting to see the outcomes of these randomized trials. So
right, since two of them are being done out of the Cleveland Clinic, I'm paying attention to it since I have a very high LPA as well, which is why I'm getting my, we routinely do echo of the valve in people with high LPAs as well. And so LPA is kind of like a molecule that sticks cholesterol into your blood vessels and onto your aortic valve. And we've learned that getting your LDL below 55 is a benefit. And there are, as Dr. McConnell alluded to, three drugs now in phase 3 trial and one in phase 2 trial that seem to knock the hell out of LPA one way or another. Steve Nissen tells me that at least one of those trials looks very favorable to knocking the hell out of LPA. So, and I guess it will be the enrollments completed and they're well underway in the study. So that data should come out within 2 years.
Yeah, I've passed on my high LP little A to both my daughters. So hopefully that'll be ready for them when they need it.
Yes, and I should say we're getting pretty aggressive at familial testing of that. And familial, we're starting to treat kids at age 6 with statins to get their cholesterol very low early on until these drugs come available. One of the allusions or illusions that Dr. McConnell made is on the back cover is a photograph of this old guy with two beautiful daughters. So Dr. McConnell has a reason to fight heart disease, to wait for his daughters to take care of him in his older age and keep him in the lifestyle he'd like to be in. Dr. McConnell, Fight Heart Disease is the book. Fight Heart Disease Like Cancer. It's a lucid overview of heart disease and the ways to prevent it is, in fact, one of the comments on the book cover. Thanks very much for being on. We should thank our sponsors, Life's First Naturals.com, the makers of both bovine colostrum and TrueBiotics, as well as the longevityplaybook.com. Go to their websites, sign up for the free newsletter at longevityplaybook.com. Look at the randomized control data at lifesfirstnaturals.com. Thanks again, Dr. McConnell, for being on. But especially thank you, our listeners. 50,000 a week of you can't all be wrong. Thanks very much for doing it. Tell your friends about us. Rate it and do read Fight Heart Disease Like Cancer and rate it as well. Thanks again.